meeting while we have other members show up and create the quorum. So with that, we'll go ahead and have the author present this bill. Senator Hernandez, please begin.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you. This bill provides a much-needed clarification to existing law that reaffirms the legislature's intent to allow the Industrial Welfare Commission to adopt or amend workers' condition orders for any workers in the California consistent with the health and welfare of those particular workers. Specifically, the bill states that the meal period waived provisions of for healthcare employees contained in Section 11, Subsection D of the Industrial Welfare Commission Order 4 and 5 are valid and enforceable. This will permit healthcare employers to continue to offer a meal period waiver, which allows employees working 12-hour shifts, a schedule very common in the health industry, to voluntarily waive one of their two meal periods. This bill is sponsored by both management and labor, and I respectfully ask for an aye vote. I do have individuals who would like to speak in support of the measure.
Great. Let's have supporters go ahead and speak.
Good afternoon. Eric Robles on behalf of the United Nurses Associations of California, Union of Healthcare Professionals, AFSCME. SB 327 acknowledges and maintains a collectively bargained agreement reached 15 years ago, and we continue to support this agreement, and we respectfully urge you to continue to support it as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine Austin Scott, representing the California Hospital Association, representing over 400 hospitals, almost all of which use 12-hour shifts for nurses and employees. So it is critical we maintain the ability to continue using those 12-hour shifts for the purposes of patient care and the like. So we urge your support. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Others in support?
Michelle Cabrera with SEIU California in support.
Great. Thank you, Michelle. All right. Others in support, please step forward.
Angelica Gonzalez on behalf of Kaiser Permanente in support.
This is Michael Hawkins on behalf of Tenet Healthcare, a very important bill for our nurses and patients in strong support. Thank you.
Bernadette Arellano on behalf of the California Children's Hospital Association in very strong support.
Jeremy Smith on behalf of the State Building Trades also in support.
Tom Bond on behalf of Sutter Health in support.
Erin Levi on behalf of John Muir Health in support.
Thank you.
David Ford for Adventist Health and Loma Linda University Health in support.
Joshua Golko with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees in support.
Jonathan Clay on behalf of Scripps Health in support.
Matt Robinson, California Association of Health Facilities and our 135,000 employees in support.
Thank you.
Catherine Pettibone, Civil Justice Association of California in support.
Nino Delgado on behalf of SEIU UHW in support.
Thank you. Wonderful. Any others in support? Any opposition? Before we continue, Senator Hernandez, we have quorum. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Mendoza?
Here.
Mendoza here. Stone? Jackson?
Here.
Jackson here. Leno? Mitchell?
Here.
Mitchell here. We have a quorum.
Great. We have a quorum, Senator. We'll bring it back to the committee, the no opposition, so we'll go ahead and come back to the committee. Any questions?
Yes. I have some concerns.
Senator Jackson.
Yeah, why, you know, we're at the end of session. Why are we doing this now? Why is there an urgency to this?
Go ahead.
This is related to a case that's pending regarding the timing of the way the IWC order versus AB 88 was implemented. So the case argued that because of the implementation timeline, the case, unfortunately, the second meal period on the 12-hour shift wouldn't hold. So we're trying to assert that the legislature did mean for when they passed AB 88 for the IWC order to hold.
Yeah, but here's my problem. This has been the subject, and I'm sorry, I'm putting my lawyer hat on.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
This is the subject of litigation. The case is on the way to the state Supreme Court for the state Supreme Court to make that determination. I see this as sort of interfering with a case that's going through the court process. And I understand what you're trying to accomplish, and I'm not arguing with you about prospectively, because I know, you know, there's a concern. A lot of nurses like the 12-hour day, and I think that's great. But this is interfering with a situation that seems to me, let the court decide. I mean, as I understand it, There's a particular hospital that lost on this and now has to pay back wages or whatever because they've interpreted it differently. What is wrong with us saying that going forward, the law will be X? Why are we interfering with a case that is before the court now and articulating, I think this bill is supposed to say specifically that it provides this provision is declarative of and clarifies existing law, when a court just said, no, it doesn't. And it's being taken up on appeal, because that's the process we have. The Supreme Court may decide the lower court was wrong and that, in fact, that is existing law. Why are we going back and trying to deal with something that is, at the moment, in the court process, and that at the end of the day, if we make this prospective, then all the people who are here and concerned about this issue because it's important, we won't lose the 12-hour day, we'll still have it. But here we are, the last day of session. We're doing this through. Some people might argue that this is an attempt to help out a particular hospital that lost a case in court, but it's under appeal. Let the court do its job, and we will do our job making this prospective.
There's a lot of lawyers in this room, and I'm not one. I can tell you that it's important to the hospitals to clarify the law currently as it relates to how we schedule our current 12-hour shifts. Because otherwise, we could have to change our shift schedule for the purpose of liability. But you know what?
But that's my point. If you make this prospective, you say, henceforth, this is the law, then you won't have to reschedule how you do your shifts going forward, because that will be the law. But right now, the law is unclear. The court has said that the law is not as you want it interpreted. They lost. Somebody lost in court. I don't even know who the players are. And it's now before the Supreme Court. If we pass a law that says effective January 1st, 2016, the law is X, Y, and Z, you can plan all you want and do everything you want in accordance with the law that we are going to make prospective, as most of our laws are. I see something here that doesn't smell right to me. It's like somebody lost in court and they want to change the law to help them in the case that's currently pending because they lost. If we had this happen, this legislature would be full of discontented litigants who are trying to get from us what they can't get from the courts.
Madam Senator, Pat Whalen, Ellison Wilson, we serve as counsel to the United Nurses Association. I would suggest to you respectfully that it was the court that actually interfered in this case. The legislature gave the IWC authority as far back as 2000 to promulgate wage orders, and they did so for the healthcare industry. And everybody in the industry lived with those wage orders and thought there was no ambiguity for more than a decade. And it was only this recent case that turned everything on its head. So the entire industry that thought these meal waivers and rest waivers were legal was suddenly turned upside down. All we're trying to do with this legislation is say, no, the legislature and the IWC meant what they did back in 2000.
But as a lawyer, I mean, I'm trying to respect the process here. This case is going through the courts. As I understand it, it's headed for the Supreme Court. What is wrong with letting the Supreme Court make that decision? To tell the court they're wrong, we do that all the time. And the way you determine that is you have the higher court make that ultimate ruling. If we don't like what the Supreme Court ends up with, then we come in and we make that change and clarify. But I just feel like it's inappropriate for us now to be saying, as you've just said, with all due respect, that the court was wrong. If the court's wrong, then you take it to a higher court. That's what we have a court system for, and let the Supreme Court make that decision. You may be right. But all I'm saying is I sense that we are interfering with the court process as it proceeds. And if you win, no harm, no foul. You've prevailed in the process. You chose to go, or somebody chose to file a lawsuit. And that's how the system works. So I'm just, maybe it's late in the day, and here we are in the last day of session. Here we are with an urgency measure, and this hasn't gone through the process. There supposedly was some opposition. They're not here now, but my concern is based upon what I think is the integrity of the court system. I'm agnostic on this issue. I haven't had enough time. I was just handed the analysis to really look at that to formulate my own opinion, other than it looks to me like the process is being circumvented, and that doesn't make me feel good, especially at this hour on the last day of session.
Thank you for your comments. Do you have any other senators that want to speak on this matter? Senator Leno.
Yeah. I have to admit, I share at least some of Senator Jackson's frustration. Completely new issue for me. It's been dropped on my head. I've probably got, like everybody else, a dozen other things going on right now. Not one to invite gut and mends at this point, but I also realize they're a fact of life. It was a 2015 Court of Appeal decision. What was the date of the decision in 2015?
Not 100%, but I want to say February.
Yes, I'm looking at mine.
So was the fallout ramification impact of that decision not digested for months and months and months, or was it pretty apparent as the decision was made? And I'm sure you had a thought that if the decision went the way it did, you were going to have a problem. Why is this getting to us now as opposed to many months ago?
I think one reason, Senator Leno, and I understand you weren't in the room for all of the folks, all of the folks that testified, but you have unanimity among the management and labor throughout the healthcare industry, and it took a long time to build that coalition.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, this is an agreement that has been reached by, that was reached at the time the IWC order was done, hard-fought agreement at that time, and continues and stays that, and it did take us a little while to continue to build back that anonymity between labor, all of the labor you saw here, all of the hospitals you saw here, and the like. So the concerns are throughout that we need to preserve the 12-hour shifts and the second meal period and the ability to do that second meal period throughout labor and management.
So. I hear you. Fair enough. Another question. Senator Jackson referred to a single listed opposition. Is that still the case?
I don't think they've officially removed their opposition, although they're
not here. Okay. And I'm looking at the analysis very quickly and for the first time. The consumer attorneys, do they provide a resolution as a suggestion?
I think the senator's correct. They'd like to make it prospective.
Prospective, okay. Which doesn't serve your purpose at all.
Unfortunately, the 400 hospitals would all be affected by the current situation as well.
Right, okay.
And you know, just to add, as labor negotiated this agreement, you know, we want to support this collectively bargained agreement, and we've all been operating under the same agreement for the last 15 years, and it's only the right thing to do that we honor this collectively bargained agreement, and that's why we started this process.
So I'll just conclude, Mr. Chair, from the little I've been able to pull together in this short period of time, it would appear this is an exceptional situation. I do think it's a valid response that it took some while to pull all these players together, and it's not an insignificant number of them, and they're all listed here. So all of that's very impressive. And this, just so I understand it as clearly as I can at this late hour, all this bill will do is put us where we were for those past 15 years. And this Court of Appeal then goes to the California State Supreme Court. We enact this, potentially with an urgency clause, because that's your need here. And should the court rule against it, where are we then? Where are you then?
Well, I think should the court uphold the case,
the Court of Appeal.
I think we're back at renegotiating, but I don't.
And help me. I really probably would have an hour's worth of questions. It's not going to get me going, but what was the basis upon which the court ruled? And what would you have to do if it's upheld to tweak it so you'd be in compliance with the Supreme Court.
So the statutory authority given to the IWC said that there could be meal waivers for shifts longer than up to 12 hours. The IWC, based on the intent that I think they read from the legislature back in 2000, was that waivers could extend to any shift, and even those longer than 12 hours. So the Court of Appeals said, well, that portion of the IWC wage order exceeded the authority given by the legislature, even though everybody in this building and everybody in the industry thought that was the intent.
So that was the basis upon which they made the ruling. It was that it was an overextension of use of authority.
Correct.
It wasn't timing on issue. The actual operation of
Correct.
What you were doing.
Correct.
The timing issue. The way things were enacted.
Okay, that's helpful as well. Thank you.
I think it's key to remember, too, that what we're concerned about is millions of dollars in liability. So,
may I just, as an attorney, I just want to say, but this case is still pending in the courts. So what you are doing, and again, and I understand how important the issue is to you, but I'm at this moment, process is becoming kind of important to me. And so what you are trying to do here, what you're trying to accomplish, is to basically remove this from the judicial process by saying that this, that the interpretation here in this bill is a restatement of existing law, thus cutting out the court to decide whether or not this lower court was accurate in its belief that you had circumvented gone beyond existing law. And thus, there will be no ability of the court, because you've preempted the court at this point, to make a final decision about whether the lower court was correct or not. Is that correct?
Actually, this is Gail Bletchert-Zaker with the California Hospital Association. Actually, how the...
Well, that's cozy.
We're cozy. We've been working very close together. Actually, and I've got some examples of situations where this very similar circumstance occurred. In this circumstance, because the case is pending, basically the legislative action here, to the extent that this precise issue is before the court, and frankly, it is at this moment, the court will take this legislative action into account. I mean, it's evidence in the case. And so, I mean, I've got the examples of other cases where the court took a bill. Right. So it doesn't, so it's not taking it out of the court process. It's a part of that process. It's not usurping the court's authority.
Great. Senator, Senator Mitchell.
So if I could just get clear, as I'm looking at page 3 of the bill, line 7 reads, without immediate clarification, hospitals will alter scheduling practices. And again, it relates to, starting on line 5, the uncertainty caused by the recent appellate court decision. So without immediate clarification, how immediate is immediate? This is the last day of session for this calendar year. We come back in January. If we were to take it up in January, it has an urgency clause. It would take effect immediately. So immediate
needs to be immediate, unfortunately. I mean, the court needs to believe that this was that we needed to put it in front of them immediately, so the 3 months could make a difference in what they determine is immediate or not. So it is helpful for the court's consideration, correct?
And to go back to the other witness's comment that in response to Senator Jackson's question, that the legislative action would then become a part of what the court decides. So I guess that really is the question, Senator Jackson and others, as to whether or not we feel that's appropriate. I appreciate you have examples of where we have weighed in, if you will, previously. So I guess that's the question.
I do want to clarify that just the immediacy, the urgency around it is hospitals have been waiting since the decision was made to see if there was going to be any clarification. And so
if there's going to be any clarification from the court or from the legislature?
From the legislature. It's before the court now. The court could take 5 years to make
that's
a decision.
True.
And so without some immediate clarification, hospitals, in order to ensure that they're not exposing any more liability would begin to change their schedule.
And then let me reiterate to make sure I'm clear about the delay in getting it before us in our process. And that delay was because all the parties had to come together and agree on what the what would be.
Correct. Right. And I do feel everybody was doing the right thing. Everybody's following the wage order that was established. It's not their fault. We just try to clarify that we're still under the same pressure that we are following the law. And I think we're all in agreement here. That's why you see such support from everybody saying, you know, they told us what the wage order was. We're following it. And we still believe in it. And I think as a legislature, we still do. Vice Chair, do you want to comment?
I'm sorry I'm late. I've been following the issue. And it sounds like to me you just need some type of a codification from us. Right. Necessary in your case. And I understand the issue. I'll move the bill.
All right, we have a motion.
I just want to clarify my vote. I'm not going to vote on this bill. It's not because I disagree. This is a process thing for me, and I just I feel as though this is just not the way we should be conducting business at the end of the day. Although I wish you the best, I just it's enough already. Thank you.
I've seen so much stuff today.
Mr. Chair?
This does not surprise me, right? Okay.
Just lastly.
Sure. Sorry, Leno.
Reflected upon my initial comments, you have made a compelling case, and I'll be supporting the bill.
All right. With that, go ahead, Madam Secretary. We do have a motion. Please call the roll.
The measure be returned to the Senate floor for consideration. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Stone?
Aye.
Stone, aye. Jackson?
Not voting.
Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
Great. The bill has 4 votes. Your bill is out. See you on the floor. I want to thank the Labor Committee for doing such a great job. We might be winning it again, but if we don't, I appreciate all your work.
Can I just echo that,
yes.
Mr. Chair? And I meant to say it and got lost in my own head, just to acknowledge that, as we say, as Senator Jackson said, with last-minute stuff coming, the fact that committee staff is here making analyses happen, please accept our thanks and appreciation for your hard work. Thank you.
Great. Happy to hear that.